Thank you for listening to the Paradigm Podcast. Paradigm is a young adult ministry that exists to see lives changed by Jesus. For more information about Paradigm, go to ParadigmKC.com. We hope this message is inspiring and life-changing. Thanks for listening.
What's up, Paradigm? If you have a copy of God's Word, won't you find the book of 1 John? Hey, every year we try to walk through a few books of the Bible verse by verse so that you will have your own personal commentary by the end of the year. And so we're getting back into 1 John. As you're turning there, man, it's been quite the quarantine, right? And so I don't know who you've been locked up with, but I have been locked up with the people that I love the most. And so about 12 years ago, I married the love of my life, and we've been doing all kinds of things, man. We've been watching movies. We've been making music videos. We've been making cookies. We've been playing silly tape on your face games. I got three little girls, and we've just been trying to maximize the quarantine time. And about 12 years ago, when I stepped into this relationship with my wife, here's what I learned. And guys, you may want to take notes here. This may be helpful for you. It doesn't really matter if you love the people you love the way that you want to love them. All right. So here's what you need to learn, guys. You have to learn how to love the people you love the way that they want to be loved. You know what I'm saying? And so I've learned how to do this with my wife. And so I would say that I love my wife. And one of the key indicators is that I've learned to love her the way that she wants me to love her. And the other thing that I've learned about that is that I can be secure in that love because I have consistently loved her the way that I want to love her. But check this out. There are all these little loves that creep into our relationship that if we're not careful and we start loving those little loves, it's going to take away from the bigger love that we have for one another. And so we got to kind of fight the little loves that maybe creep into our life by feeding the greater loves. And I start there tonight because when it comes to your relationship with God, man, he is after a loving relationship with you. Like here's the deal. Maybe you're listening to this video and when it comes to faith and religion and God, like you think that God wants your sacrifice, your money, or maybe you think he wants your morality. But listen, God is after your heart. And the thing that he wants the most is for you to have a loving relationship with him. And so I'll just want to ask you a question tonight. Are you in love with the one that gave you life? And if so, how does that look? I've titled this message tonight, if you're taking notes, Love on Lockdown. Love on Lockdown, because we're on lockdown. I mean, we're on shut in, we can't go nowhere, and we are on lockdown. But listen, God wants you to have your love and your relationship with him on lockdown too. And here's what I want you to see tonight. I want you to see that God wants you to love him. That's the greatest thing we can do. And the way that that plays out practically is seen in the way that we love people. And that we can live loved by God and have security in our relationship with him. And before we leave tonight, I want to invite you to fight love with love. So John's this guy that's writing this book of 1 John to some people. And he's letting them know that there are some things that you got to know in order for you to know that you know God. You know what I'm saying? And so he's writing to this group in this town called Ephesus. And Ephesus was like this melting pot of people. Think River Market. Pre-COVID, River Market's this area in Kansas City that's kind of this big bazaar of cultures colliding together where you can get all sorts of crazy food and meet people from all over the place. And so John's writing to a group in Ephesus that makes up all sorts of different walks. And there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people trying to come together and figure out what it looks like to love one another the way Jesus has called them to love one another. And he writes some things to this little church in Ephesus. And he starts off with this, 1 John 2, starting in verse 3. He says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." What John is saying right out the gate, he's saying, you can know that you know God. Like you can know that you know him. And listen, the way that you know God is that you keep his commandments. Now, don't get it twisted, all right? In Christianity, obedience is not a requirement for faith, all right? But obedience is the result of God working in your life. That obedience is the result of faith. We don't have to obey in order to know God or be forgiven by God. But once we know God, we then start to obey him, right? And so God begins to work in our life and then we begin to follow him in obedience. He goes on in verse 4 and he says this: whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And so what Jesus did, when you claim to know God, what you're saying is that you love God. And so Jesus came and he's like, man, I love God. And he showed us how to love God too. Point number one, if you're taking notes tonight, you could write this down. Love God. John, what he's saying is that the way that you know God, is that you love him. So I got a question for you. Do you love God? Like I think that a lot of us are going to be a little bit disappointed in this life because we've gotten some things confused. Like we've come in here, a lot of us have come in here, and we think that faith and religion and God is all about us doing the right things so that we can get to heaven. But you've missed the point of heaven. Listen, Jesus is the point of heaven. And so if you don't want to love Jesus now, then why would you want to go to heaven? Like if Jesus wasn't in heaven, why do you want to go? And so the first thing that Jesus came to accomplish was to show us the way of loving God. Like what if I told you this? Like I was telling you earlier, man, I've been loving this lockdown with my girl and my daughters, and it's been amazing. And what if I told you like all of these things, that I'm so in love with her, and then you saw me on social media like just bemoaning the shutdown. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm just stuck in here with these people. I'm out of my mind. And I was complaining about being shut in with the people that I claim to love the most. Like you would be like, bro, that's just a little bit confusing, right? Like you're getting mixed signals there. And listen, just like you would get mixed signals if I claimed that, I think sometimes God gets mixed signals when we say we love him, but then we don't want to spend time with him. We don't want to seize the moments that we have with him. And so I got a question, like, has your love for God affected the way that you live? And so the number one way that you know that you love God and that you have a right relationship with him and that you've been forgiven, the number one fruit that follows that forgiveness is that you want to keep his commandments. Like the way that you love God, the way that he wants to receive love is that you obey him. Like think of it this way. You've probably heard of love languages before. God's love language is obedience. And so you need to keep his commandments. Now, some of y'all, you've heard about the commandments of scripture and you're thinking, man, that's a lot of things I got to do. And so you're telling me, Chad, I've got to do all these things in order to prove my love for God. And listen, you may have to do some things, but Jesus has boiled it down to one big thing that you got to do. And I love this. And here's what he says, that if you want to love God, the second side to that coin is that you love your neighbor as well. That's the biggest commandment that Jesus is driving all throughout his ministry. Here's what John says back in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. And this old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. That's kind of confusing. John's like, I'm not writing to you something old. I'm writing to you something new, but you already knew this. And so it's really old, but it's actually new. And so it's like, John, what are you saying? Well, he's just echoing the thing that Jesus said in John 13. When Jesus got his guys together, John was there. He was like, hey, I'm going to give you a new commandment. They get their notebook out. They're getting ready to write a new commandment. And then Jesus says, you got to love one another. And they're like, Jesus, we've heard this our whole lives. And so Jesus is saying that I'm calling you to love one another, just like you've heard since way back when. I'm calling you to love one another in a new way. And so John, what he's saying is that I've given you this command that you've known, but I'm reminding you and I'm calling you to another level of love. In verse 9, he goes on and says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. So what John is saying, he's making this very clear, that you cannot love a God that you cannot see if you are not loving your brother or your sister who you can see. Point number two, if you're taking notes right now, I want you to write this down. Love people. love people. Again, you can't claim to love God while simultaneously not showing love to people. And so, question, are you a loving person? Like the people you've been shut in with, would they say something like, man, this person has been a joy to be quarantined with? Would they say they're so sacrificial? Or would you be marked by selfish and grumpy? Are you a loving person? I think two areas where it's difficult to love people right now in our culture is pandemics and politics, right? Let's take politics first. So a few months ago, I was on a road trip with my brothers. I've got two older brothers. We were all in high school together. And so we're that close in age. And I'm riding in the back seat. And I've got my middle brother and my older brother. They're both riding in the front seat. And they've always kind of had this history of banter and arguments. Maybe you have a sibling like that. And so I've got my brother who's driving, conservative. My brother who's riding, liberal. And the brother who's riding, he's just trying to have a peaceful conversation. And so he throws out, I mean, we're in the first hour of a six-hour car ride. He just says, hey, what do y'all think's the perfect government? And so he's wanting to talk politics. And, you know, that can always get a little bit twisted. And he's real civil. And so him and my brother start talking. They ask my opinion. And, you know, I'm standing up here with the Bible, so you probably predict what I'm going to say. I'm like, hey, we could have the perfect government, but the hearts of man are wicked. And so we're going to foul it up, you know, even if it was perfect. And so, I mean, I don't know. I think the one we got is pretty good. And so we start talking about all this. Well, it gets heated. And so my brothers, they're starting to argue. And I'm trying to play Switzerland through the whole thing, just kind of like referee and just maintaining peace, you know, not choosing sides. And anyway, there's some choice words that are exchanged. And then it just kind of gets quiet. And then my brother's like, well, I think Chad's right, you know, and he kind of sides with me. So I think that no matter what it was, we would probably foul it up. But I share all that to say that when it comes to politics, sometimes we can choose our own way over showing love God's way. And so, man, here's my challenge to you in this political season. Like, don't choose sides at the expense of loving your brother. Like, your political agenda is dependent upon how you vote, right? But the church's agenda is dependent upon how you love. And so in all the turmoil, it's an election year. Listen, you can disagree politically, but you're called to love unconditionally. And Jesus's body, like his body was literally tore apart on the cross so that our lives could be united as one body in the church. And so again, I said it earlier, but in John 13, Jesus said this, I'm going to give you a new commandment that you love one another. And the world's going to know that you're my followers by the way you love one another. Now that's being nice to each other. That's being kind and that's meeting needs. But one of the main ways that Jesus envisioned that we would love one another is by the way we fight for unity. In John 17, Jesus is praying that the church would be united. Like you think of all the things that Jesus could be praying for the church, the future church, like they'd be safe, that they would be influential, but all these things, he doesn't pray for those things. He prays that we would be united. So I just want to encourage you to pray. To pray a prayer like this. You would say, God, would you make us one so that we can impact many? Make us one so that we can impact many. And here's what I know. Like you can take this book and you can manipulate it to push forth a liberal agenda. And you can take the same book and you can manipulate it to reinforce a conservative agenda. But listen, Jesus did not come to take sides. He came to take over. And so we've got to allow our faith to filter everything that we do. And so when it comes to loving people, don't allow your political agenda and the people that you may disagree with get in front of you loving people the way Christ has called you to love. And so that's politics. Let's talk about pandemics real quick. Like, man, how are you doing? Like, how are you doing loving people through everything that's going on? I mean, there is a palpable tension right now in our culture because of COVID-19. And we are called as followers of Christ to shine bright in the midst of chaos. Like pandemics, man, they reveal us. And they've revealed Christians all throughout history. In the 3rd century, there was this pandemic that broke out in the Roman Empire. And they were seeing 5,000 deaths a day. And a historian named Dionysius, he compared Christians with non-Christians. And here's what he observed. He observed Christians running towards the aid and the care of people who were not necessarily Christians, just all people that were of other cultures, other races, socioeconomic statuses. He observed Christians running to the aid of those getting sick and dying because they cared for people. and those who were non-Christians running away from even their own family and friends. And he said that in the end, both of them died. Now, one of them died giving their life away to the lives of other people. And they were received by parade and applause of heaven. The other died trying to preserve their life. And they were received by judgment because of their selfishness. Christians run towards the chaos historically. There was another pandemic that broke out in Germany in the 16th century. And there's this famous Christian named Martin Luther. And he has a writing about this time. And he was recently married. His wife was expecting their first kid. And they were encouraged, hey, go seek refuge somewhere else. Get away from the disease. But he said, you know what? We're going to stay here. And we're going to minister in the midst of this disease. But he also wrote this very unique piece of literature where he said, hey, I'm not going to judge people that have sought the Lord and decided that it's best for them to seek refuge. But as for me and my household, we're going to stay here and we're going to serve those. But Luther also said, but don't be dumb. Like, wash your hands. Fumigate the house. You know, don't go and be in public places if you don't have to be. But when people are in need, Luther chose to rush to those who were in need. Another pandemic that broke out in the 19th century in London was a choleric outbreak. And there was this famous preacher. He's called the Prince of Preachers, named Charles Spurgeon. He was 20 years old at the time, and he decided to stay. He canceled all of his speaking appointments, and he said, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to minister to those who are being gripped by this outbreak and this pandemic. And here's what Spurgeon said. He said this, when society is anxious, they anxiously listen for hope. When society is anxious, and that's what's happening right now, right? They are anxiously listening for hope. And so listen, man, if you claim to love Jesus, all right, that's a lot of you listening, but you haven't called your neighbor during this pandemic, I would question whether or not you rightly understand what it means to love Jesus. If you want to love Jesus, that means that you obey his commands. And one of his biggest commands is that you love people. And so you need to call your neighbor, man. You need to reach out. You need to share a message of hope. I want to give you three things that you can do. You can pray, you can share, and you can care. Man, isn't it weird that prayer is often the last resort when it should be our first response to things like this? Man, you should get on your knees and say, God, would you bring a vaccine? Would you bring healing to our land? The word of God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I'll hear from heaven their prayers and I'll heal their land. And listen, we are 20 inches from mercy. That's the distance from your knee to the floor. Get on your knees and pray that God would move. The second thing you can do is that you can share. Man, this is an amazing opportunity for you to share the gospel with people. People are grasping and finding that the things that they once held on to for their security is not there anymore. There is anxiety in our day right now. And you have the solution to their issue. You can be their hope dealer, if you will. You can share with them that Christ came and he lived. He died on the cross, rose from the grave so that he can entreat all men to come to him and find salvation and hope in this life and the one to come. And so maybe you need to share with somebody because there's a lot of tension in our culture right now. And listen, when all of this is just a story, what story do you want to tell? What story do you want to have told? When all of this is just a story and we're removed from this in 5 years, what story do you want to tell? And so you need to pray, you need to share, and then you need to care for people. Maybe one of the most loving things that some of you can do is just stay put, stay shut in. And maybe that's the best decision for you to love people in with what's going on for you. Others of you, you don't know your neighbors. And maybe you need to reach out to them. We've provided you a resource in the bio right below that you can click. And it's this little card that just allows you to fill out some things and send it over to your neighbor and just says, hey, during this shut-in, how can I serve you? And maybe that's the bridge that you put out there to begin to build a relationship with your neighbor. Others of you, man, you're like itching to go do something. And our church has provided an opportunity for you to serve. One of our young adult community groups just this weekend, they went to the local Price Chopper where they basically worked a shift. And they helped meet needs and have conversations and encourage people. And you could do that too. You could go to livingproof.co/corona and you can find out about ways that you can serve. We need to pray, church. We need to share the hope of Christ, and we need to care for people. John, he goes on and he says this, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Like, I love this, all right? That he's reminding them of what they have received in Christ. Like, listen, you don't have to do all of these things in order to be forgiven. Forgiveness comes from Christ. Results are not required in order for you to have the removal of your sins. But results are a byproduct of you having your sins removed. And John is reminding them, he says, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Like it, one theologian, he said this, if you're uncertain about the forgiveness of your sins, that in itself is a sin. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that. And what he means by that is that if you've built your forgiveness or your right standing with God on your works, on your merit, on your ability, that's a sin. Like, the gospel is this, that Christ came, lived the life that you could never live, the life I could never live. He died the death that we deserved on a cross. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave so that he could extend to you forgiveness and that he could extend to you hope that sin and death will not capture you forever. And this is the gospel. I wonder, have you received that forgiveness? Have you began a right relationship with Christ, or are you insecure about your relationship with him? John, he kind of goes on this poetic reminder of where these people stand with God. And here's what he says in verse 13. He says, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you, dear children, because you know the Father who's in heaven. He says, I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Like John, he is reminding them of who they are. Like he says, hey, lean in. We've been talking about some hard things, I know. But I see God's work in your life. Some of y'all are just, you're living loved by the way that you've experienced forgiveness. Others of you, man, you are theologians, you're fathers of the faith. And others of you, you are young men strong in the word of God. Point number three, if you're taking notes, you could write this down. Live loved. We want you to love God, love people, and then live loved. Are you secure in your relationship with Jesus? I told you I've been married to my wife 12 years. I want you to imagine that about every 6 months I came to her and I was like, hey, we need to have another wedding. I need to propose again. We just need to have this event. And because I just feel like our relationships, it's insecure. We need to have this wedding. Like, that would be exhausting and weird. And it would be exhausting for her too. And listen, that would mean that our relationship was only built upon an event. And that's a picture of some of y'all's faith. I know it was a picture of mine for such a long time. Like I went from event to event when it came to my relationship with Jesus. And so I would get close to him at a camp or at a conference, or maybe I'd hear a message like this from time to time. And then I never really walked with him. So I didn't have much security in my relationship with him. And what John is saying is that when you see God working in your life, this gives you the security that you truly know him. And so you need to live loved. A few ways that he says that you live loved is, first of all, you live forgiven. You know, you understand that your sins have been forgiven, that they've been removed as far as the east is from the west, that you don't have to be plagued by your past failures. You don't have to live in close proximity with your past regrets. You can let them go. Quit carrying around the things that Christ died for you to leave and to bury. So you got to live forgiven. The second thing he says, you got to know God. He says you can know God as your Father in heaven. And he says, others of you know him as the founder of the universe. Like, there's so much to know about God. You can seek the Lord. The way you live love, the way you have security in your relationship with him is that you seek him. You open up your Bible. You read it. You get out a journal. You start writing about the things that are taking place in your life right now. Process them with the word of God through prayer and begin to know him. The other thing you can do is that you can overcome the evil one by being strong in the word of God. And he uses this as an example, and he says, hey, you can know God where you can fight temptation and win. So how are you doing with that? We've been locked up. Temptation coming from all sorts of directions, right? Like it's been said that nothing is more dangerous than idle hands. that idle hands is the devil's playground. And so John, he encourages these believers that you've been strong, you've overcome. And then he gives them this really clear and really strong reminder. And here's what he says in verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. The world there is the things of this world, all right? He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it comes not from the Father, but from the world. What John is saying, listen, is that you can't love God and love this world at the same time. Like if you were to audit your love for this world, the entertainment, the things, the stuff, the people, whatever, what if you were to audit that and then measure that against your love for God, how would those compare to each other? You can't love God and love this world at the same time. What if I told you, like, after all of this, I've talked about my wife and how much fun we've had, and it's been great. What if I said, and you know what? I also have this other lover on the side. Like, you would be like, so you mean to tell me that you love her so much and you're so infatuated with your wife of 12 years, but you have another lover on the side? Like, bro, that doesn't work. And listen, That would be sick. My wife wouldn't tolerate that, and that would be wrong on multiple fronts. And that would prove that the sincerity and the integrity of my love statement towards my wife was false. And listen, that's a picture of some of y'all's lives. That you're saying, like, with all your heart, like maybe you sang earlier, you're saying, God, I love you. I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. But you have other lovers on the side. And it negates the sincerity and the integrity of your statement of love towards God. John is saying you can't love God and this world at the same time. But man, that's hard, right? I mean, we've been on lockdown. We've been quarantined. There's panic and pandemonium. There's all these temptations. Like, how do you just not love the world, right? And how are you doing? Like, what you been watching? How have you been honoring Christ in all of this? There are these little loves that every one of us have that threaten the things that we love dearly. Point number four, and finally, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Fight love with love. See, there's a love that God hates. It's a love of the world. And what John is saying is that if you claim to love God, you actively love God. Like, even in the shut-in, all right? Like, I think oftentimes we think that God somehow has given us like an extended amount of grace to kind of sin however we want to sin because he understands that there's COVID-19 on the scene, and so we can just get away with it, and we just kind of have this, you know, this Rona clause, if you will, where we can just kind of get away with watching whatever we want to watch, TikToking whoever we want to TikTok, or doing what, you know, quarantining and chilling, if you know what I'm saying. You've been swiping right, trying to have some, whatever you've been doing. I don't know what's been going on, but oftentimes we think that somehow God's just okay with that. That we can go after these little loves that take away from our love of God. So how are you doing? How are you fighting temptation? And how are you fighting for your love relationship with Christ? I think one of the things that happens so often is when we're social distancing and we're on our phones, like, I think pornography is something that we give into oftentimes. And I know this is a real struggle for men and women. And guys, I want to give you a resource real quick. There's this conference that's taking place right now. It's $1 to join for the next 21 days. It's called quarantineformen.com. Quarantineformen.com. You can go to that for the next 21 days. You can get inspiration from men to fight sexual addiction. And some of you ladies are like, well, what about us? What are we supposed to do? Well, what those guys are going to hear, let me just throw out the principles. They're going to hear things like this. Pray for brokenness. And so if you're struggling in this area, pray for brokenness. And then remove the temptation. Whatever you got to do, get rid of the virus, if you will. And then you got to seek community. Now, maybe your issue isn't a pornography issue. Maybe it's just anxiety, not just anxiety. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's something altogether different. I would say that the same principles are true. You need to seek community. So you got to get creative, right? I mean, we're social distancing. We're shut in. So you need to hop on your phone and FaceTime somebody and let them know that you're struggling. And you got to invite them into what's going on in your life. And if you want to love God actively, this is what you do. You fight sin. And then you pursue him in his word, and you pray, and you do the things that we've talked about already tonight. John, he finishes this section with this verse, and he says this. He says, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Listen, this is the will of God, that you know him, that you love him, that you make him known. I think some of us are still kind of thinking that we can get to heaven or we can have a right relationship with God by some other means. Like, listen, you could be the guy that invents the vaccine for the coronavirus. All right. Imagine if that was you. Like you invent the vaccine, you win the Nobel Peace Prize, right? And you're hailed as one of the greatest heroes of the 21st century. And like, listen, you could do all of that good, but that's still not enough for you to get to heaven. You cannot do enough good to make up for the other virus called sin. See, there's this virus called sin that makes us all guilty within. And that's why we need Jesus to come and save us, because he is the perfect, spotless sacrifice of Christ. That he went to the cross and he died for you and he died for me so that we can live with him for eternity. And then he rose from the grave so that we can know that he is alive and that our hope is alive too. I wonder, again, do you know that? Listen, the world and its desires are going to pass away, but the man or the woman that does the will of God lives forever. And if you don't have that security, man, I want to give you an opportunity right now just to bow your head. I know it may be kind of weird if you're with some people and or maybe you're just watching this, just you and I right now. Just bow your head, close your eyes. And this could be a defining moment for you where you ask Christ to move into your life and save you. I want to just say a prayer and invite you to repeat after me. And this may be a moment where you draw a line in the sand and say, God, I need you to save me. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner. God, I need you to save me. I want to turn from my sin and trust you as my only hope. Jesus, I believe you died on a cross. I believe you rose from the grave. And I want to follow you all of my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Some of you maybe just prayed that prayer, and man, we would love to connect with you. God doesn't want you to live isolated in quarantine. He wants you to have community. And so if you prayed that prayer, we want to give you an opportunity to respond by texting the word response to this number, 816-945-9685. Others of you, maybe you're still processing just the message tonight, processing everything that's going on in life, and you would just like somebody to pray with you, to talk with you. But you can text this number, 816-945-9685, and just text the word respond, and we would love to connect with you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'd like to pray for you as we dismiss. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for my friends who are tuning in from all over the world, all over the KC area. God, I pray that this message, this word would speak directly to their hearts. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help them to love you. Help them to love other people. God, help us all to love you. Help us all to love other people. Help us to live secure in our loving relationship with you. And help us to fight love with love. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.